Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The first time I saw him, he had this magnetic charisma that you could feel across the gym. And you just thought, hey, man, this guy's a star.
And I'll do whatever it takes
to look adversity in the face and spit in its eye.
The wrestling world could never have imagined that an undersized football player from Cincinnati would revolutionize the business, ushering in a whole new era.
Shut the hell up!
Brian knew what the deal was, that they're going to screw him over, they're going to screw anybody over, and how he could make that play for his own advantage.
In an industry that depends on the illusion of reality, no one did more to blur the lines than Brian Pillman, who shattered wrestling's fourth wall.
He was going against the script. This has never been done before.
What the f*** are you doing? Easy!
Pillman's over-the-top antics exposed the inner workings of the business, leveraging trade secrets to make the deal of a lifetime.
That loose cannon gimmick, he just took it so far.
A lot of people thought, oh man, it was too extreme.
You didn't know where Brian started and this wrestling persona pinned it.
Get him the hell out of here.
He had a lot of troublesome relationships with women.
My mom had had enough, and that kind of pushed her over the edge a little bit.
He's being driven crazy at home. He's supposed to be crazy at work. And in between, he's probably really going crazy.
On track to become a wrestling superstar at the price of his own sanity, his rise to the top was tragically cut short.
I'm watching the pre-show for the pay-per-view.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some tragic news to report.
I just screamed.
He had a persona that he wanted to perpetuate, even if it killed him.
Dark Side of the Ring, the brand new season kicks off with an episode all about Brian Pillman. It felt only right that I would have in conversation with me today the man behind Crazy Like a Fox, the Brian Pillman story. I'm blessed to have this guy as a wonderful name drop in my life. Hey, he punched me in the bollocks once. That's the thing that happened. Liam O'Rourke's with us. Liam, how you doing?
It's a pleasure to be here, Tom. Thank you for having me, and good to talk to you again in the much better circumstances than the aforementioned
punch in the bollocks that you gave me that time at a wrestling show in Shrewsbury. Yeah, apology accepted, by the way. Fall out before we start. We've seen some early trails for the episode, the first episode of the series, which is all about Brian Pillman. There's a lovely shot that we've already seen. You shared this with me as well as I was seeing it. Jim Cornette and Jim Cornette's dog reading your book. Is that a milestone moment in your career, Liam?
Just to see the smile on Jim Cornette's face was nice as he was reading it was quite a moment. And more importantly, the dog seemed to really be enjoying it in the background over his shoulder. So, it's cool to have had an acknowledgement on the show because, as I'm sure we'll get to, I was kind of a little bit involved, and obviously the book played a big role in this happening in the first place. So, very happy that there was a nod to the book.
Now, what inspired you to write Crazy Like a Fox?
So, honestly, it was the fact that, as I'm sure people are probably going to come to the conclusion after watching both episodes of Dark Side of the Ring on Brian Pillman, that the topic of Pillman is absolutely fascinating. And it's something that I'd been studying for years and years anyway, for my own kind of just general interest. And then kind of the deeper and deeper and deeper I dug into the Pillman story, the more interesting I found it. And it was one of those where over the course of several years, I'd amassed this massive collection of notes. WWE had done a DVD on Pillman, but I wasn't particularly enamored with it because I knew that there was so much more of the story that probably needed to be told so that people kind of could actually contextualize why the Brian Pillman story is so interesting. And unfortunately, time is a bit of a factor on DVDs and even TV shows, as we'll get to with Dark Side of the Ring, I'm sure as well. You've only got a finite amount of time to tell the story. And I genuinely believed after researching him, after talking to family members, after talking to his friends, and people in the business and studying him as long as I did, I just believe that it's going to take a book. What this needs is a book. And I didn't think that anybody else was going to do it. And I believe that because I'd done the research and I'd spoken to the right people, I thought that I was going to be able to put together something that told this story and told it effectively and told it the way that I thought it needed to be told.
Now, what makes... Now, for people who've read the book, they'll know the answer to this already. But for those who don't, what is it that makes Brian Pillman such a special part of wrestling history?
So Pillman's so unique in coming along at the time that he did. He got into the business in 1986 and being an undersized guy. Now, obviously, it goes back to, obviously, pre-wrestling. He was a unique bird anyway. Obviously, people know a lot about the upbringing. They know kind of sort of that he was an undersized football player who made it to the NFL somehow, and that in itself is an incredible story. So you take this guy who was not a massive wrestling fan growing up, and he kind of gets thrust into the business because it naturally appeals to him. Therefore, when he finally gets into it, he looks at it through a different lens than everybody else does. And as a result, you can kind of see the differences in the way that Pillman approaches things throughout his career. And he acts and reacts in ways that are unique. And obviously, it climaxes with what he's most known for, the loose cannon persona and the long con that he tried to pull and did pretty much almost completely successfully pull off. And just that unique outlook colors everything he does. And he's so unique and so special because he was audacious enough and studious enough during a time when that really wasn't the done thing to be as studious about the profession. Everybody obviously learns as you go and learning on the road and stuff like that. But Brian was like a student. He was a note taker. When he went to wrestling school, everything that Bruce Hart taught him, he would go home and he would write it down in a notepad. Every single drill, every single bump that he took, he would read wrestling books. He would read everything he could get his hands on. He wanted to absorb himself in the knowledge. He quizzed people that other people probably wouldn't quiz. People, you know, when Luther's book, Hooker, came out, I doubt many people called him up to challenge him on his stories, but Brian Pillman did. And there were a lot of things like this that, again, from his personal life, he had a very unique outlook on life in general itself because of his upbringing. And when you thrust that into the wrestling world, which is just the most bizarre world anyway, with this kind of warped thing of reality and fiction that blends together. And Brian, from the outside, a legitimately tough guy, a really, really tough guy, surrounded by guys playing the role of tough guys on television, and he's legit. He knows he's legit, but he's undersized at the same time. So even though he has something to prove, he really has less to prove than most, but at the same time he has to work twice as hard to get anywhere. It's the most unique situation where Brian Pillman, and I'm not sure there's many people like this, Campbell, maybe you can think of some others as well, I'm sure the listeners can too, a guy who overachieved massively relative to what he was, a 5'8" guy, undersized in the business, and somehow also underachieved because you knew the potential. When you saw him at his best, you knew that this guy could have been a megastar. And yet, for the tragic reasons that obviously Dark Side of the Ring goes into and the book goes into too, never happened. And it's just the most bizarre. It's just a fascinating story. It's one that he's one of the most... Dave Meltzer said it on his radio show a couple of days ago, and I think it's true. I think he's one of the most fascinating people that's ever been in the wrestling business.
How did it go for you when you decided, right, this incredible story I'm going to put into words? But, you know, as a wrestling fan with some connection within the industry, but not a lot of connection with the industry, mm-hmm. How do you go about approaching people like Jim Ross, like the family of Brian Pillman, to say, I want to write a book about Brian. Can you please pour your soul out to me? Like, how did that process start for somebody on the outside?
So I'd kind of... The thing that I had done first, which I'm at, in retrospect, even though I didn't realize it at the time, this was the best thing I ever did, which was that Kim Wood, who I think is the star of the Dark Side of the Ring episodes, I think he's tremendous in it. Him and Linda Pillman are just outstanding on that documentary. Kim Wood was the first person I spoke to, which in retrospect was an absolutely great thing because anyone that I spoke to afterwards, if I mentioned Kim Wood's name and mentioned that I'd spoken to him, everybody has the utmost respect for him and everybody knows who he is and they know that he's pretty much a genius. And in a weird way, that kind of gave me a credibility that was unique because Kim Wood is very connected to Dave Meltzer. Meltzer I spoke to and I had the credibility with him because of the conversation with Kim. And in talking to folks like Raven and Jim Cornette and Shane Douglas, talking to them, it was a mixed bag. You know, I'd spoken to Jim Cornette, told him I was doing the project, said I would love your involvement, and he took the bull by the horns. I didn't really need to twist his arm that much. He just said, I would love to be part of this project because I think if this is going to happen, and this was the case with a lot of people, and it was very pleasant because Brian Pillman at the time had been kind of out of the public consciousness for a little while, I think people really wanted to talk about him. They wanted to, I think there was this collective feeling that, like me, everybody wanted the full, true story on Pillman to be told, and they wanted to be part of it because they had stories, and they had so many fascinating stories. And, you know, the only one that was really kind of any kind of a challenge was when I emailed Raven and told him that I was doing this book. He sent me, as you can probably, it's quite funny, he sent me this list of like 10 questions, like an interview, like a job interview, of like, why are you writing the book? What kind of book is it going to be? What qualifies you to write the book? Who have you spoken to so far? What do you know? Just this big, long list of things. When I answered and told him everything, he just wrote back and said, you answer my questions perfectly, let's do it. And it was, you know, things like that where, again, because I'd built up the knowledge anyway over such a long period of time with notes and newspaper clippings and footage and everything that I gathered over 15 years before I'd even started the book, it was fairly easy to convince them that I knew what I was talking about because I'd done the research and I'd done the work. And obviously, like I said, talking to Kim helped a great deal. So it was not as hard as I anticipated.
Well, I think because with the Raven thing is especially amusing because I think a lot of people you see now kind of going through this vetting process with interviews because it feels like everybody has a podcast. You're talking one now. And yeah. It's a case of, you know, you have to sort of, for the lack of a better term, sort the wheat from the chaff. And like, is this somebody that actually knows what they're doing? Or is this somebody who's just playing journalist who wants to have a chat with a wrestler?
Is it ham radio? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's that. And obviously you've proved it. But when you went to, when you started the conversations, you with already this wealth of knowledge about Brian Pillman, was there something that you learned as you were going through that surprised and or shocked you about Brian Pillman that you didn't know before?
Oh, about 1,000 things. As would obviously happen, you know, when you're a student and you're observing what you can see, that doesn't mean that, you know, there's a whole world behind what you can see in wrestling. That's the fascinating part of it. And that's kind of half the story with Brian in the book. But just learning the personal things, like things about, obviously everybody knew that he was popular with the ladies. Everybody knew that he had the personal strife at home and the things like that. There were a lot of things, again, from a studio's perspective, things like the fact that Brian Pillman wanted a Screen Actors Guild card, and that was part of the reason why he wanted to go to ECW, because he could have a blank canvas. The promos that he was filming in ECW, the stuff with the pencil, the stuff with him as a chef in the kitchen, that, you know, classic stuff that everybody remembers, that stuff was stuff that he was using as demo tapes, essentially, to try and get auditions for Hollywood, because he wanted a Screen Actors Guild card. He'd had health problems. They recognized there was something wrong with his heart. He'd had basically an attempt to get life insurance that didn't really afford him all that much insurance. And so he wanted the Screen Actors Guild card to get the best insurance. And part of the loose cannon thing as well, again, it's the mentality behind it. It's the research he did to figure out a way in this world where in WCW revenue generating was not really a massive deal during that period of time. How can we in this landscape where, you know, drawing money and drawing pay-per-view buys doesn't mean as much to becoming a star, because it's, you know, it's not Eric Bischoff's money, it's not Eric Bischoff's company, even though he runs it. Just the way that he can, you know, the whole thing behind his perspective of the landscape of wrestling, that was the most interesting stuff to learn. And obviously the personal stuff, there was a lot of personal stuff. Obviously there's tons in the book. There's also stuff that's not in the book because there wasn't really a space for it, and it wasn't really appropriate. And there's some things that I was asked not to put in the book that I learned. So there's an awful lot, obviously, that go when you undertake something this big and you speak to that many people, there's always going to be things that even the most learned person, I mean, there were things that came out in the book that Dave Meltzer didn't know, you know, I mean, that should tell you what you need to know right there. Yeah. He knew Brian really well, better than most. And there were things in the book that Dave didn't know. So that goes to tell you like just how complex and how well-rounded this story of Brian Pillman is.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
On the explosive two-part season premiere of Dark Side of the Ring.
If you can watch Flynn Bryan in his total element, you're seeing one of the true bright minds in the business of professional wrestling.
He was on track to becoming the biggest star in wrestling by convincing people that he was the only one that wouldn't do what he was told.
A lot of the boys backstage weren't really sure this was real or if this was a work.
That loose cannon gimmick, he just took it so far.
He was dependent on to provide for several different mothers and families, and I think that does weigh on a man.
He acted as though he wasn't going to be around much longer. He used to say things like, make sure you find somebody so the kids have a father. I'm like, why would you even say something like that?
He's being driven crazy at home. He's supposed to be crazy at work, and in between, he's probably really going crazy.
So how involved are you in the Dark Side of the Ring episode on Brian Pillman?
So last July, before they started filming it, they got in touch with me, I believe, first, because they basically asked me, what should the documentary be? Who should we talk to? Which of these stories? And they gave me like a bunch of stories. Which of these are true? Which of these are false? And basically just went through like a big, long talk with Howard Sheffman, who's with the story producer at Vice. What is this, you know, what should we do, essentially? And obviously they'd have, you know, Evan Husney read the book, loved the book. That was the inspiration for doing the documentary, as I understand it. He said it himself in the last couple of days. So it was just a matter of helping kind of guide the ship in terms of, I mean, and I stayed in contact with them every so often just to kind of say, hey, how's it going? This is what you need to do. I sent them a couple of documents, things like his death certificate and things like that that I had had and I had on my laptop that I could just send over easily. I don't have a scanner here at the minute, but things like that, you know, just kind of like chipping in, contributing little, you know, little bits in that conversation where it's like, okay, this is, if you're going to do this. And again, because I said the same thing to him that I just said to you, this story is so fascinating that it required a book to tell the whole story. You're not going to be able to tell it in 40 minutes, you know, and thankfully they did a two-parter, which I think is going to be able to tell a little bit more of the story. But even then, when you watch part one, there's a point where I really wish they were able to just sit down with Kim and Dave and focus on the creation of the Loose Cannon character, because to me that's some of the most interesting stuff. But obviously this stuff has to get truncated because there's only so much TV time.
And also you're introducing it to a whole new audience as well.
Of course.
The Dark Side of the Ring is bringing lots of non-wrestling fans in to see what wrestling's all about. And I think it's going to be an eye-opener for people to hear about the story of Brian Pillman, which is greatly talked about in your book, Crazy Like a Fox. Are there plans to do another? We kind of briefly talked about this before we started recording. But do you have any more plans to write again? Because this feels like, you know, the beginning of something amazing. But if it's a one and done, then... fair enough. But any other plans to write any more wrestling stuff?
There's thoughts. There's things. I've actually had multiple suggestions come my way. But to be honest, it's part of it too is because this one went so well, and because I thought this one, I was really happy with the way this one turned out. There is a doubt in my mind about whether or not another book could live up to the standard of this one, because this one I thought was very, very happy with it, like I said, and it, you know, as well as it did. So. I there are some that I'm thinking about and I'm considering, but it's just a matter of if I do this, is it going to be what I want it to be? And that was part of the reason, again, I self-published Crazy Like a Fox, because the companies that I'd spoken to who were interested in doing it, it wasn't going to be fully mine, if that makes sense. And I wanted to be fully mine because the whole point of me doing it in the first place and taking the leap to writing the book was that I wanted to be able to cram in as much as I wanted while telling what I thought was a very good story.
When you say you self-published this book, are you surprised with just how far this reached?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Struggled with that a little bit. I'm not surprised that it reached quite far because a lot of the people that were close to Brian, by Brian's design in his life, were reporters. He was very canny. And again, one of the things that he was smarter about than most was involving himself with the Wade Kellers, the Dave Meltzers, the Mark Maddens, people who had an outreach to people. You know, had forums of their own that they were reporting situations to people. He was somebody who kind of, I mean, he went out of his way to know everybody, to quiz everybody. And it, I mean, information gathering was a 24-hour job for Brian Pillman. And because he had, you know, all these tendrils in different elements of media and life, I thought when this book comes out, the people, because again, you know, Mark Madden was interviewed for the book. Dave Meltzer was interviewed for the book. Reporters who then, when they see it themselves, and again, I had the faith that this was going to be good, very good. And when it turned out that the, you know, that those guys liked it and were reporting, and Mike Johnson too, obviously from PW Insider, these guys who were basically saying, yeah, this gets our stamp of approval. We know this story and this story is good. Then that outreach goes. And then, you know, I've got people from Cincinnati emailing me saying, you know, talking about the book and, you know, and that was another thing too. There was one of the reasons, this actually is something that I should have actually responded to earlier on when you said things that I didn't know. In Cincinnati, there were people that I spoke to in Cincinnati and they still think that Brian Pillman committed suicide. They don't realize that it was the heart attack. They, because it was reported very quickly in the Cincinnati media that it may, you know, it may have been an accidental overdose, it may have been a suicide. There were a lot of people who, when I was, you know, kind of doing the rounds early on, who didn't really fully know that. And it kind of surprises you sometimes. You think that things are common knowledge, and they're not always. So
people in Cincinnati, there was a select number of people who, up until when you spoke to them, thought that Brian Pillman had killed himself.
Thought that it was a suicide. Or they questioned it. Yeah, they questioned it because it's one of those things where, because the seed was planted in people's brains early, even if they ended up revoking it, saying, actually, it was a heart attack, people, because that seed is there, they questioned, you know, what is it really? You know, that's kind of the nature of people, especially during that time in 1997 when information wasn't so freely available.
Yeah, so people are going to be learning all over the world about Brian Pillman when they watch Dark Side of the Ring. So people who haven't read the book and have just seen, oh, there's a two-parter on Brian Pillman, and that's all they know. What can people expect
from the documentary?
Hmm.
I think they're going to get a very accurate and a very good snapshot of what made him so unique. I'm already seeing, even though people have only seen part one right now, I'm already seeing people talking about the nature of how he played Bischoff being deeper than they actually realized. Things like the personal stress at home with Rochelle and Melanie being more extreme and more kind of ugly than they knew. And I think that it was one of those where when I watched it, I was looking for the inaccuracies. I was like, oh, please, you know, you spoke to me about this. I know you read the book. And there was one point in there because Eric Bischoff tried to get away with the comment that him and Brian came up with a loose cannon so that he could send him to the WWF and then pay him more when he came back one day. And I watched it and I was just like, don't let him get away with that. I know that you spoke to the same people I did who can rebut that. And then it immediately cuts to Kim Wood, who sets the story straight and said, yep, that's the idea, isn't it? Tell a girl that, you know, make a girl break up with you so you think it was her idea when really you're the one that wants out. Like, people are going to get an insight into Brian. They're going to get a glimpse into the way he worked. And actually, more interestingly, I think one of the things that I learned about Brian as well is that Brian dealt with people differently. If he would deal with a Dave Meltzer and talk about things with Dave Meltzer that he wouldn't talk about with a Mark Madden. Mark Madden, he would talk about certain other things. And he dealt with people in a way that spoke to them. He spoke to people in a way that spoke to them so that he could have a very kind of specific relationship. And I think that's one of the things that's interesting about the documentary is seeing the way Linda Pillman looks back on her brother Brian looking at the way Kim Wood looks back on Brian with his stories, which were very, very different. And again, this is what I got in doing the book. Different stories of different types from different people, because Brian interacted with them in different ways and would tell different people the different elements of his life. And then you have to piece the puzzle all together. You see elements of that in Dark Side of the Ring for sure, with the way that they have Steve Austin and Jim Ross and Linda and Kim Wood, who are, you know, again, they're great. Dave Meltzer's great in it. There was nobody on there that should not be on there. And as a result, you get a really, I think you get a good snapshot. Even though you don't get the full story because time obviously prevents that, you do get a very good idea of what's going on.
And if you want a deeper dive into it, you get Crazy Like a Fox, the Brian Pillman, the definitive chronicle of Brian Pillman by Liam O'Rourke, who is talking to us right now. Now, Liam, where can people get the book?
Amazon, baby. Amazon.com.co.uk.jp.de.wherever you are in the world. It's there for the taking, baby. It's also on Kindle if you want to give it a try. It's on Kindle Unlimited, I think, actually. So you can go in there and give it a shot. And once you get started, I think you'll enjoy it.
It's awkward because me and you go back so many years. Yeah. So it feels not nepotistic because we're not family, but genuinely, you have written one of the best wrestling books. And I feel weird saying that because you're my mate and it feels like I'm just blowing smoke up my mate and trying to get him some books sold. But it genuinely is. This and Death of WCW, the best wrestling books ever written. That and obviously, The Rock Says by The Rock.
Way to blow your own endorsement.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.